Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, what I'm simply calling spying, lying, and citizens' persecution in America. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. Our guest today is Congressman Mike Hill, a former District 1 representative for Florida. He's a Christian, conservative, and a patriot, and I'm thankful that he's with us. And I'm looking forward to having Congressman Hill with us on Thursday evening for our July the 1st Let's Face the Issues rally. Congressman, I'm delighted that you're with us today. Thank you for taking time to join us. As we think about what Tucker Carlson said, let's go back to that for a moment with what Tucker Carlson said in relationship to the agency, the federal agency that's been spying on him, been looking at his emails, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are you familiar with the 32-page document that the DOJ's developed at the behest of our president? It's called Domestic Terrorist Act, and what it literally does. I've examined that several times, and if you're familiar with that, I'd love to take a moment or two before we get to the election recount, the audits that's taking place, and talk about it. Are you familiar with that document?
No, I'll have to apologize, Dr. Youngblood. I am not familiar with that document. I have not read it yet. I look forward to doing that, but I have not. I'll make sure I look it up today.
Well, let me do this for the benefit of our listeners, and I can bounce it off you for your thoughts in relationship to what that is doing. In that particular document, it is simply called the Domestic Terrorist Act, if I'm not mistaken. I think there's another term for act. But anyway, it's the DOJ's work, and it will literally, they don't. I would have suspected they would have tried to shroud somehow the truth of what they're doing from the eye of the general citizen. But they will trace, track, identify anyone thought to be a domestic terrorist. And the question that I ask, well, how could they do that? In several of the articles that I read in relationship to that, in fact, Tucker Carlson had someone on his broadcast the other evening that was a professor that had taken the document and literally had shredded the document in one way and the other. And analyzed it and made the statement. But here's what they're doing. They have locked arms with, that's my term, not theirs, they've joined forces with, I think is the way they use the term, with the FBI, the IRS, the United States Postal Service, the CIA, the NSA, social media, big tech, to filter, to follow, to listen to all calls, all texts, all emails, all websites, all travel, all purchases, of every conservative and Christian and patriot and Trump fan. They're going to be following and listening to, if they're not already doing it, and I believe they are, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, et cetera. All of those big tech organizations now have become an arm of the federal government to trace, track, follow, and to start the persecution and the prosecution. And the IRS, you know, recently said that if you're a Christian, if you're a religious person, if you believe the Bible, then you're automatically a Trump Republican. And they've stated that the Trump Republicans are the very ones that's in the crosshairs of the DOJ as a vindication or a vindictive act against all of those that were against President Joe Biden. And then secondly, Congressman, in this Department of Justice document, once they do the tracing, tracking, et cetera, what are they going to do with that? What is the term, purpose of doing all of the tracing? They're simply saying openly anyone that is in that realm are viewed as being a potential domestic terrorist. And they even state that they will go to an employer and see that you're fired and or prevent you from getting a job. If you say anything that is antithetical to the masking or the vaccinations for the COVID-19, if you challenge or question the origin of COVID-19, if you challenge or question the 2020 election and whether or not it was fraudulent, you are then a domestic terrorist, and therefore they take it upon themselves, the federal government, to make sure that you cannot work and to do everything they can to prosecute and persecute you. Now, Congressman, I don't know of anything in my lifetime, and I'm still less than 100 years old, I don't know of anything in my lifetime that I have read, studied, analyzed, looked at that's any more frightening from the human perspective than that. Ezekiel 33:10, Ezekiel said, "How should we then live?" Based on what you hear me saying that that document does, what should that say to every American citizen? How should we respond to that, Congressman?
Well, I'll tell you this, Dr. Youngblood, that is extremely unnerving that our own government would do that to its own people, when the purpose of government is to secure our natural rights that are given to us by God. That is the purpose of government. It is not to spy on us. And those who you mentioned are in their crosshairs, Dr. Youngblood, Christians, Trump supporters, those who question the origin of COVID-19, that puts me dead center. So that makes me believe that they must be tracking my correspondence, my phone calls, my travel, wherever I go. And if they can trump up enough evidence to say I'm domestic terrorist, they will do so. They will not hesitate. We saw those who on January 6th who simply went to the Capitol. There were a number of people there who did do things they should not have, such as entering the building forcibly. But there were a large number of people who did not enter forcibly, who went in out of curiosity, who went in to see what was going on, and they have been arrested, many of them, over 400. And now they are being prosecuted, and some are even being found guilty and are taking a plea deal, when just a year before, there were thousands of people who were in the streets demonstrating and creating mayhem and destruction, assault and battery during the Republican National Convention and President Trump accepting a nomination from the White House. People could not even walk back to their hotels safely. Not a single one of those people were arrested. Or when Judge Kavanaugh was being confirmed by the Senate, and those people were breaking into that building almost on a daily basis, and none of them were arrested. The hypocrisy and double standards are amazing what we're seeing right now. So how should we as Americans react to all this, knowing that if you are a conservative, that you are a Christian, that you are a supporter of American traditional values, that could make you a domestic terrorist? How should we react? The first thing we should do, Dr. Youngblood, as I always say, is pray.
Yes.
Pray for God's protection. Pray for his grace and his mercy.
Yes.
And also pray for strength and courage. Do not cower. Do not stay at home. Do not give in to what this corrupt government is doing, because as soon as you do that, that is when they can declare victory. What we must instead do is resist at every step of the way. That's why I never wore a mask. with this whole COVID nonsense. Not that the disease itself wasn't real. It was indeed real. I had a close friend of mine who died from that. It is indeed a real disease. What I'm saying was the government's reaction to it was way overblown, and I resisted it the entire way. I don't wear a mask, never did wear a mask, and I am not going to get that COVID-19 vaccine. I refuse to get that. And I've encouraged all my adult children and anyone else in my family and friends to not get that vaccine. It's an experiment that they're going to put into your body, and I refuse to take it.
Well, some of the recent revelations about that we've had about in America that's underreported, I believe, approaching now 6,000 deaths as a result of the vaccine, and the latest count, about 385,000 adverse responses to the COVID vaccine, and I find it antithetical to anything that be called a wise decision to do so. But I'm looking at an article that says Biden wants to beef up his ranks of prosecutors, analysts, and agents to combat domestic terrorism. The White House just released its much-anticipated plan for countering domestic terrorism, what President Joe Biden called the most urgent threat to the United States of America facing the nation today. Here's the essence of this article, though. The plan outlined is the first of its kind ever in history. Calls for the increasing information sharing with all law enforcement agencies, with all technology sectors, that's big tech, that's social media, that's Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Growing the ranks of government analysts, investigators, and prosecutors needed to combat domestic terrorism, improving employee screening, and in further documentation of that, to include employee screening, enhancing the methods for identifying extremists who might pose insider threats. They're, through that document, going to network and require all major businesses to go through the domestic terrorist network through DOJ to find if there's any names there that the DOJ might consider a future potential domestic terrorist and prevent that person from being able to be employed in the United States of America. I don't know of anything that's any greater affront to the liberties that we have in America today than this act that they have just set up. This article says it also says the government will look more closely at whether foreign extremist entities linked to domestic terrorism can be designated as such. Informed by the nation's top experts, it is a dramatic shift from the United States' decade-long focus on threats posed by Islamic extremists on a foreign basis. The 32-page proposal, titled The National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism, was tailored to address violence and reduce factors that could lead to violence and threaten the public safety and infringe on the free expression of ideas. It is a total infringement on the free expression of ideas. Congressman, not to belabor the point, but I receive probably 150 to 300 emails a day. I probably read 50% of them. And out of that 50%, there's probably 20-30% of those that I find informative that I want to forward to others. If I leave the subject line on them, and it is something that is questionable from the government standpoint, everyone, not a few, everyone bounces back. I cannot get it through. That tells me that even the emails that the average citizen is sending and receiving, depending on the subject matter or the subject line, and even some of those I take the subject line off completely, and it bounces back because you can tell it's been screened. And if there's anything about the vaccination, anything about COVID, anything about recounts and the audits in Georgia and Pennsylvania and Michigan, et cetera, it bounces back and cannot go through. I am concerned from a patriot standpoint, a Christian conservative standpoint, of what we see the federal government doing to us. But that then transitions into the thought. What are your thoughts and understanding? What is the position of several of the states today that's been going through months and months and months of audit and recount, for example, Georgia and Michigan and Arizona and Pennsylvania. Do you have the information as to some of the present responses and results of that that we could talk about for a moment?
Well, only what I've read, Dr. Youngblood, you know, in articles that have been sent to me, in that they're getting ready to wind down a portion of the audit that was done in Arizona. And I think what they are going to find out, the results are going to be, of course, that there was widespread fraud that was done in Arizona. And that's why the Democrats are so hotly contesting what is going on there. They know that fraud is going to be found. That's why they sent over 100 lawyers there into Arizona, into that one county, to try and stop it from happening. And once Arizona has proven that there was fraud, that's going to be the beginning of the dominoes falling in all the other states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, where, again, we know there was widespread fraud based on the evidence that we have seen from great patriots like Mike Lindell and lawyer Sidney Powell and others who have done tremendous work exposing what this fraud that we are going to see officially be exposed. You know, Dr. Youngblood, you were talking about the government spying on us and looking at our material, and as you say, I've experienced the same thing with some of my emails that I've tried to send. They do get bounced back, so you and I must be on a list, Dr. Youngblood. And even on another site, it's called a Clout Hub that I use, because I got off of Facebook. I got off of Twitter years ago, but I left Facebook towards the beginning of this year and refused to go back. So I go to this site called Clout Hub, and there are several different articles on there and so forth, which I can share. But here's one thing I've noticed. There was an article on there talking about the recent rally that President Trump held and the number of people who were there. And you can hit the like button and a number of likes of that will show up. Every time I hit that like button, it would go off. In other words, it wouldn't count it. It just simply went back blank again. So I clicked it several times, and each time it would not record the like. Instead, it would just go back blank. So across all social media, that they are trying to control our behavior. And I'll mention this, Dr. Youngblood. One thing I am disappointed in right now is, of course, the Republican Party and conservatives. And the reason I say that is they are not standing up to what we are seeing happening. Where's the outcry? Why aren't they standing up saying, going against this 32-page document that is detailing how they're going to call out domestic terrorists, completely unconstitutional? Why aren't they speaking out against that? Why aren't they speaking out against the over 400 Americans who were arrested after January 6th? Why aren't you standing up in defense of them? And I would also go on to say that President Trump should also be standing up and speaking loudly against what they are doing to those people who were arrested. He has the loudest voice on the Republican side right now, and he should be using that trying to defend those people who did nothing more than walk over to the Capitol.
Absolutely. So, in fact, I recently read an article, Congressman, about a 69-year-old preacher, pastor, that was in D.C. at the time that took place, was not even on the Capitol grounds, he was from at the rally but left there and went to another location several miles from the Capitol grounds. They have recently interviewed him because his name came up in their siphoning through all motel and travel costs and expenses from the charge card companies and the banks that they have inquired through. And they found his name, of course, through that sieve that every name was placed through. As a result of that, they contacted him. They interviewed him. He proved to them in the interview that he was not at the Capitol or near the Capitol. And nevertheless, about 1 week after the interview, they raided his home. and went through, ransacked everything in his home, took all of his hardware, software material, his computers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the Gestapo approach that's taken in America today with this demented form of government that we have. Congressman, hold on a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Once again,
good afternoon. Delighted to have you.
This program is filled with nothing but the truth, the absolute truth. I think the American people unknowingly are so scared of the hidden power that is coming upon this country. Those that are in the know, I think they're scared. Secondly, if we were to really analyze where we would be today had Hillary won instead of Trump, with the powers they're using today that they wanted to use after Obama's term, final term, we would all, our residents would be FEMA camps. They would have already picked up Christian leaders and conservative leaders and people that did not or would not accept the takeover of America. So we are facing what they wanted to already happen and take place. And unless we as free people make that final stand now, not later, we will see the FEMA camps. And I've been told there's two words you do not say, and that is militia and FEMA camp. Automatically triggers their system into finding out who you are and all about you. Two words will trigger more than anything else.
Well, brother, you're exactly right. In fact, you know, the election of President Donald J. Trump was an enigma to the socialist Marxist left. It was something that was aberrant as they saw it, because they fully expected Hillary to go in, and they were using the Dominion software system then, which they had cheated on the election, but they didn't cheat enough. And so that's the reason the fraudulent election took place in 2020, which is very, very, very hopeful, in my opinion, that we'll get to the bottom of that. But, Dan, thank you so much for your call, brother. God bless you for calling today. Congressman, I'm looking at an article and touched on that. This article says, now Zuckerberg paid millions of dollars for the leftists to work in the 2020 election, a massive article that goes into details of how Zuckerberg and Stacey Abrams basically collaborated together, dispersed the funds together to basically buy the votes, and it's now being discovered some of those things taking place in Georgia. Here's an article that says the judge permits massive election audit in Georgia, rules absentee ballots unsealed for examination. And then further they found, here's an article, Georgia Fulton County's Richard Barron reportedly finds 1,500 chain of custody forms that were all missing for months in Georgia. They've tried to sequester, they've tried to hide, they've tried to lie, they've tried to deceive. And as you said, I believe they have several hundred attorneys, all of them out of the Cooey Law Firm, representing Hillary Clinton and the DNC, that's fighting against what they will find in the analysis of the election in Georgia and Pennsylvania and Michigan and other states and Arizona. But, Congressman, let's do some assumptions. I believe that it's pretty solid ground for the assumption. They will discover that major massive fraud took place. They will discover that, in reality, Donald J. Trump won the election. Of course, the socialist, Marxist, communist media will challenge that and say that that's not true, et cetera, et cetera. But let's do the assumptions that they will make that discovery. What will be the value of it? How will it redound to the American citizen? And then is there any mechanism that can right the wrong that was done with that?
Well, I think one thing it will do, Dr. Youngblood, is restore the faith that the American people had in themselves. We know that Donald Trump won that election by a landslide, and everyone was shocked when Joe Biden was declared the winner, and it made people doubt, you know, well, maybe he did win. It made them doubt their faith they had in other Americans who were voting for what they thought was the America First agenda. And so I think when this shows that it was indeed fraud, that President Trump did indeed win, It's going to be a rallying cry. It's going to restore faith in American citizens with other American citizens who love this country and want to defend and protect it. Now, what mechanism there might be to correct what was done wrong, I don't know, Dr. Youngblood. I do know we can't depend on our Supreme Court to correct it, the U.S. Supreme Court. Those bunch of cowards make the wrong decision 9 out of 10 times. So what that mechanism will have to be, it will have to come from we the people who will stand up and demand that righteousness prevail.
Yes. And part of that demand will be that we cancel any right or privilege for the Dominion hardware software system to go forth. I'm looking at an article as we close. It says Stacey Abrams profited from the local election in Georgia and across the county, making millions of dollars to run our elections. And it goes on to talk about the firm that Stacey Abrams had called Happy Faces. Happy Faces did the hiring and the putting in the place of all or most of the election workers in Fulton County, Georgia. And that was paid for through Happy Faces, Stacey Abrams. Funds came from Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook. And literally, this article says that once the election started, that Zuckerberg's people took full control of the election process. But Congressman, thank you so much for taking your time to join us today. It's always a delight to have you. Looking forward to seeing you Thursday night for our rally here in Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.